Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3, and Claire Huang is the Hong Kong correspondent for The Straits Times. She joins us every week with an update and analysis of the latest from the territory. Thanks again for joining us this week, Claire.
Hi, Howie.
So Chief Executive Carrie Lam's administration's begun putting together a third round of relief measures. How timely are they, Claire, and what details do we have?
Well, to set the context, Hong Kong's unemployment rate is 6.1% in July. That's down from the 6.2% in June. And the slight improvement is due to, the government wage subsidies. Now, the outlook is still bleak, though, as the pandemic takes its toll on businesses and the economy, especially for tourism, construction, and F&B. Mm. If you look at the economy, right, Hong Kong's economy shrank by 9% in the second quarter. So whatever help the government can afford will go some way in easing people's burdens. Now, there are no details so far about the third round of relief measures, but trade unions, across the political divide have urged the government to give more financial help directly to the public rather than to the employers, because they say, some employers can get the subsidy, but then it doesn't keep the jobs. So what they're asking for is for money to be given direct to the staff.
But what about the relief measures rolled out so far? 290 billion Hong Kong dollars is a big sum.
Well, the second phase of the over 80 billion Hong Kong dollar pro-employment subsidy program is open to applications at the end of the month. In the first phase, from June to August, 43.9 billion Hong Kong dollars were distributed to 140,000 employers. 97% of this amount was given to SMEs. So the second phase will be about the remaining $37.1 billion. Now, under the program, right, the Hong Kong government will help businesses pay the salaries of their employees in hopes of keeping the employers afloat, controlling job losses and things like that. So it will provide salary subsidies to employers that would be as much as 9,000 Hong Kong dollars. That's around $1,160 per person each month for 3 months from September to November. Elderly workers, property management companies and supermarkets will also be covered.
Speaking of supermarkets, Claire, Mrs. Lam has told two large supermarket chains to give those wage subsidies they receive back to the community by way of discounts and cash coupons for the underprivileged. How likely are they to do it, and why just these two chains?
Well, the two largest supermarket chains are Park & Chubb and Welcome, and they employ more than they employ more than 8,200 staff. Now, Park & Chubb is controlled by A.S. Watson, which falls under tycoon Lee Ka-shing. Welcome's parent is Dairy Farm, which falls under Jardine Matheson. Now, Dairy Farm itself hires more than 21,600 staff, so you can see the size of these supermarket chains. And previously, the two retailers pocketed more than 100 million Hong Kong dollars each in the first round of subsidies between June and August. They've yet to indicate if they would seek fresh financial support, but the supermarkets have generally bucked the trend in this pandemic to do well. Now, in June, right, the supermarket sales rose 4.5% year-on-year, and that's like in May, it was up 7.3% and so on. So the Labour Secretary, Lau Chee Kwong, has asked supermarkets to offer discounts to NGOs and low-income people, The rationale here is to help the poor and vulnerable tide through this tough time. At least they have food to eat and they can afford to buy those food. But the reactions here are mixed, and even pro-Beijing lawmakers have blasted this move, saying it's laughable. But then there are others who point out that this puts companies that are doing well in the pandemic off, because they will not want to apply for government subsidy. But then there are some welfare groups that, who are also saying that this is a good move, because, you need to reach out directly to people in the vulnerable and low-income tier.
Right.
So the reactions are mixed so far.
Speaking of Carrie Lam, the troubles in Hong Kong seem to have started to bleed into her personal life. U.S. sanctions imposed on her have caused her some personal inconvenience, such as restrictions on the use of credit cards. But she doesn't seem too bothered or deterred, though.
Well, she previously previously scoffed at the sanctions imposed on her and 10 other top Hong Kong and mainland officials. And then now she's gone on mainland TV to say she's inconvenienced. I guess you can say that's kind of like a notch down from scoffing, right? I think she's only just realizing how inconvenient it could be. We've talked last week about simple things like buying goods from US e-commerce platforms, yeah. Amazon, for example. You know, purchases could be rejected if you're sanctioned. Now, there's a reason also why the police pension was shifted to the mainland, a reason why existing police commissioner Chris Tang recently said that his assets were shifted as well days before the sanctions kicked in. So these sanctions are quite impactful.
And she also returned her honorary fellowship to Cambridge University. Did that have something to do with the sanctions as well?
Well, the 63-year-old resigned from an honorary fellowship at Wilson College. That college had questioned her commitment to the protection of human rights and freedom of expression following the enactment of the national security law. But she said the accusations made by the college were groundless. She called it a smear campaign mooted by unnamed British politicians.
So the US has suspended its extradition treaty with Hong Kong and ended reciprocal tax treatment on shipping with the territory. So with the Trump administration ramping up moves on mega Chinese firms as well, Huawei, Chinese app maker ByteDance, as their election draws closer. So Bigo Technologies, a small arrival of ByteDance, it's shifting servers from Hong Kong to Singapore. Do you think more businesses will follow suit, Claire?
Well, Bigo's biggest data center capacity is in Singapore, along with other markets where it operates, such as India, United States, Europe, and Middle East. Now, this shift is one of many likely to come in the months ahead. If a recent poll carried out by the American Chamber of Commerce is any indication, you know, AmCham found that 4 in 10 members are looking at relocating due to the national security law, and the U.S. sanctions have added on to mounting pressure. So in the months that follow, we will likely have global firms here moving their key personnel out of Hong Kong. They might move important functions out of Hong Kong, leaving the not-so-vital ones, or outsourcing them altogether.
And over on the civil service front, there's new guidelines to dismiss newly recruited civil servants if they get arrested and charged for taking part in protests and illegal activities. But some criticize it's a presumption of guilt. Carrie Lam doesn't think so. What she mean, though, it kind of does look like guilty until proven innocent.
So the government's point is that how the civil servants perform, how they conduct themselves, what views express, all these things, right, can portray an image of the Hong Kong government and gives it reason to fire the individual involved. Mrs. Lam said that it's not a question of presumption of guilt, it's an employment issue. And here's where I point to global companies or even MNCs in Singapore, right? I mean, how many times have we seen news that when a person is charged, you know, with, say, corruption, or even getting into the news, you know, under the spotlight for wrong reasons, you know, maybe for a Facebook post or whatever it is, and the MNC lets the staff go.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's good or bad, Howie. I'm just saying it's standard protocol. And the problem here is that Hong Kong has been so free, right, that civil servants, you know, have been allowed to hold protests, assemblies previously, because it's the freedoms are exercised liberally here. So any curb will be seen as an erosion of that freedom.
Let's turn to pro-democracy camp rifts that remain in groups about their participation in the extended LegCo session. You've got Civic Party leader Alvin Yeung warning that their absence would give the government an opportunity to push through controversial legislation without any resistance. What do you reckon? Is he right?
He is right, I believe so. The camp is split. You have some saying that Hong Kongers need at least some representation from the opposition camp, as opposed to letting the government push through every policy they want without any questioning. You know, but then there are others, including localists, who, you know, say that the pandemic should just all boycott LegCo, as lawmakers were not given a mandate to serve for one more year. I tend to believe that Alvin Yeung's correct.
Claire, let's quickly look at the COVID situation. The government's extended social distancing measures for another week. What's up?
Well, we have seen a dip in new cases the past 17 days. That's from the highs of over 100. Now we're hovering in the 30s, 20s. You know, it's come down to that. On Monday, though, the government extended the social distancing measures for another week to next Tuesday. This means things like no dining in from 6 p.m. onwards. We can only do breakfasts and lunches outside. Businesses like gyms and beauty salons are still shut. No massages for me.
Oh dear.
The reason is simple. Because a month into the third wave in Hong Kong, the new cases are mainly community infections, unlike in the second wave, where they're mostly imported ones. So the government said that, you know, a lot of the transmissions are still unknown. The sources of transmissions are still unknown. Community spread is still quite wide. But on a more upbeat note, the universal COVID-19 testing that was announced by the government recently will begin on September 1st. So it'll start next month. Specimen collection will start on that day. The process will take about 1 to 2 weeks. This comes on the back of the government's earlier announcement that it would offer voluntary tests to all residents with the help of a team of mainland experts.
All right, Claire Huang, The Straits Times Hong Kong correspondent. Always a pleasure, Claire. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Howie.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.